so excited about what we're doing here and a series that we're in. And if you haven't, if this is your first Sunday, let me just explain that a little bit for you. And that is that we are in a series that we've entitled Running with the Giants. And let me just explain that. And it's with this idea, and that is that there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about there's this great cloud of witnesses that are looking upon our race as we're running this race. And so we're pulling giants out of the grandstands that are going to take a lap with us as we run our race, those that have already run their race, and get some advice from them as what they would say to us as we're running our race. As we are doing that, we're actually pulling people that are currently running the race out of our family of Crosspoint here and taking an opportunity just to discuss with them how that race is going and just in the process also learning a little bit about one another. And so this is a great opportunity we have. And so today we actually have Dwayne Dunham and Dwayne Stone. So it's Dwayne and Dwayne. It's the Dwayne and Dwayne show, everybody. All right. So I think they came up with that. But anyway, so really excited about these guys just joining us today. And we're just going to take just a few minutes just to have a little brief discussion and just let them kind of share a little bit about their lives. And hopefully this will be a great blessing for you today. First of all, let me start with Dwayne Dunham. And I know we've got a little bit of a connection with our work and all, but tell us a little bit about where you're from and what you do, if you would, Dwayne.
Sure. Of course, my name is Dwayne Dunham, originally from Philadelphia.
Let me just stop for just a moment. Can we just stop? Because that's a little bit distracting. We're going to change out mics, okay? Can we do that?
Try this. Try it now. It may be in the cord.
We good?
Check.
Try now. All right. Okay.
Okay. Again, my name is Dwayne Dunham, originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Spent 20 years in the Air Force, moved here to Charlotte. Been a member of Crosspoint for 5 years, and approached Pastor Hobbs with the idea to start a financial peace university. Asked him, has he heard of Dave Ramsey? And he had, so he was all on board and decided to go ahead and start it back in 2010, and conducted about 9 classes here.
And now Dwayne, when I said we got a little bit in common, Dwayne, he's got an extensive background in the military, in the Air Force.
Yes.
And then he actually, as a lot of people do that come out of the military, they go into the post office. And for those of you that don't know, I'm a bivocational pastor. I work for the post office. I'm a letter carrier. Dwayne is a lot higher up the ladder than me. I mean, he's way up there. I think you take care of, like, from the mountains to the beach to, I don't know, what territory do you cover?
Yes, I'm a manager of maintenance for the Mid-Carolinas District, which extends from the western North Carolina all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. So I'm responsible for maintenance for about 400 postal facilities.
So he does maintenance. So I told him the other day, I said, I want to talk to you about some leadership positions around here. But anyway.
No wonder people go postal.
Right. Well, that applies. Let me just throw that in. My wife works for the post office. Her father, she had 2 uncles, her brother. I had to join up just to get in all the complaining, okay? But anyway, we're just so thrilled to have Dwayne, and Anita's with us today. And come on, everybody, welcome Anita to the house.
Sweet, yeah.
And
right, give it up, honey.
And I was talking to Anita last night on the phone, and I said, this guy is one of the most positive guys you would ever meet. It just always got a smile on his face. Such a blessing here, and so thankful for you. And also thankful for Dwayne Stone. Dwayne, tell us a little bit about where you're from, a little bit about your background.
What is there not to tell? Anyway, I'm originally from a little town called Elkin, North Carolina. Most people do not know where that is. If you just go straight up 77 north, you will run into the little town of Elkin, and that's where I grew up.
And I've got family there, and we think we're cousins. Okay,
yeah,
I'm just
saying. We are somewhere down the line.
We gotta be.
So I think that's why we're such a kindred spirit. But I moved down here in December of '89. Got a job here, and Been here ever since. This is home now, Charlotte. I live in Fort Mill, but Charlotte area is my home. Met my lovely wife back in 2001, I believe it was. And I met her at the best possible place that you could meet someone. I met her at church.
There you go.
And it was really unusual that she actually came on a Wednesday night. And that's unusual for a guest to come on a Wednesday night. You know, most times they come on Sunday mornings. And that's what you gear your service toward, you know, your guests. But she popped up out of the blue, came on a Wednesday night. She had found out about our church from her former pastor, from where she was from. And they recommended coming to our church. And so, as they say, the rest is history. I did meet her that night. I was in charge of the singles group at that point. I was a singles minister, I wasn't interested in her just as a friend, you know, and then got to hanging around her and got to know her more and her kindred spirit, and just found out that she was literally everything I had been praying for in a woman. I'll cry. She was a godly woman. Had the same beliefs that I had. And I knew when you work in ministry, for any use her in ministry, you know, that's very important that you help someone else that is on the same page with you. And so we just got to know each other and started dating, and we got married in November of 2002. We've been married 12 years, be 13 years this November.
And I tied the knot.
That's right, that's right. Pastor Theron tied the knot, so he did a great job. And that's kind of my background.
Well, it's we're so blessed to have Dwayne and Karen both. Dwayne is both these guys are serving as our facilitators of Financial Peace University small group, and Dwayne is the other Dwayne, that Dwayne. I knew I was going to have a hard time with this. Dr. Stone here. He serves as our worship pastor, and also, just for those of you that may not be aware of this, he is now our acting secretary and treasurer of our church. And so, come on, give it up for that, right? And so, Karen is actually our dream team coordinator. We're trying to put as many hats on these people as possible. But we're so thankful for them, and I know that Dwayne Dunham started the Financial Peace University, like you said, several years ago. Such a blessing, such a ministry. And then Dwayne Stone ended up taking a class from Dwayne Dunham. Now he is a facilitator and is leading a small group in South Charlotte. So we have two Financial Peace Universities going on at the same time. And I know this is very dear to your heart. Tell me a little bit, Dr. Dunham, tell me a little bit about why Financial Peace is so important to you and how it's helped you. And I know you're using that to help others as well.
Well, back in 2010, a gentleman at my job, Brian Sedlick, he used to travel around the country fixing different postal problems on machinery. And one day he came in office and asked, "Have I ever heard of Dave Ramsey?" I'm like, "No, who's Dave Ramsey?" And he told me about what he does, teaches families how to build wealth, get out of debt, and handle your money according to the biblical principles. Mm-hmm. So that touched me, and I went home to my wife, Anita. We've been married 33 years. And I said, "Hey, I want to go to this class." And she was like, "Oh, okay." So we went through the class in 2010, and it showed us a different way to handle money. Although we've been out of debt before, it showed us a way to handle our money, and it helped us tremendously. Paid off about $6,500 in about a year, maybe a little less than that. Right. But once it did that, and then I approached you about bringing it to Crosspoint, you was all on board for it.
This guy's really got a heart for this. Oftentimes I get a lot of emails from this guy, you know, and forward stuff to me, and just he's all into this, and it's made a difference in his life. It's made a difference in a lot of other people's lives. In fact, this semester, as you're teaching the small group, one of the guys in your class had already taken your course.
Right.
He came and tells about it. He came back to go through it again.
Yes, Curtis Carpenter. He came through the course back in 2012, I believe, and he's engaged now, so he brought his fiancée back so that they can be on the same page before their marriage on money. So while he's out of debt, she's getting the same information now. So going to make a tremendous change in their lives. And that's what financial peace does. When you both on board with money and handle it the same way, it creates a oneness with your money, your finances, your marriage, and that's where it counts.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's beautiful. You put that so beautifully. You know, if you're wondering why is this so important, we're talking about money here at church. Number one cause for divorce is financial problems. Did you realize that? So it is a spiritual issue, and the Bible has a lot to say about finances. So it's very important. So this is a ministry. I want you guys to understand this is a ministry. And Dwayne, I know that you went through the course and you just loved it, and also I know that this has been an area in your life that God has just really helped you with. Tell us a little bit about that.
I took financial peace under this great man here, Dwayne Dunham, and my wife and I went through it, and when we came out after 9 weeks, it was that awe moment with God. And I knew that we had to give back to people because people have such a struggle with money. I mean, we know we see in society today, even our government can't even handle the money well. And so with that, my wife and I knew that we wanted to be coordinators. And so I asked Dwayne what I need to do to become a coordinator, and he told me, gave me the number I need to call and who I need to call at Dave Ramsey's organization. So me and my wife, we signed up, and we just have a passion for it. We want to see people to live a life of freedom. When it says Financial Peace University, that's truly what it means. When you can get out of debt, there is such a peace that, I mean, you can't even begin to understand unless you're there already. And so my wife and I, we worked, and one of your first steps is you save $1,000, and the next step is you pay off all your debts minus your mortgage, because obviously that's the big one. And my wife and I, we went on the journey and the trek, and we did that. We are totally debt-free minus our mortgage in a little over a year. It is awesome, I'm just telling you. And it's awesome knowing from month to month that you don't have to live paycheck to paycheck, I'll be honest with you. And knowing that there's money in the bank, knowing that you've got money there to pay your bills when they come due, and not say, oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh, gosh, I didn't expect that bill. I didn't know that was coming up, you know. And my wife and I, we had taken the Crown Financial course a few years back at another church we were attending. And during that whole process, when Karen and I first got married, we didn't do this money thing right. I'm just going to be honest with you. We struggled. And I'm going to tell you the number one reason we struggled. Because we didn't pay our tithes. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. And when we took Crown Financial, it really just opened our eyes up all over again. We knew what we were supposed to do. I mean, we had been taught from little children. Our families had taught us to pay our tithes when we were little. And we went through Crown. We just looked at each other. We got our crown, and we said, we no longer have a choice. We have to do this. We have to pay our tithes. Because when you pay your tithes, it's a step of faith. That's what it becomes, a step of faith. And I'll be honest with you, we were living paycheck to paycheck. And we were living in a place that was paid for, if that tells you anything, and I was living paycheck to paycheck. So we just said, you know what, we don't have a choice anymore. And we started writing that tithe check faithfully every week. The next thing you know, we got our place up for sale, and we're in the process of buying the home that we're in now. And if anybody had told me during that time that I would afford the mortgage payment that I have now, I'd have said, you're crazy. There's no way. I mean, I'm living in a place that's paid for. There's no way I'm going to step into a house with this type of mortgage. And I'm just telling you, it was all God. And that's what I'm just telling you to begin to. It was all God. We was able to get in that home. Didn't have any hiccups, nothing. We moved right in. Never missed a payment. We was able to sell my other place, be able to pay some other bills that we had off. And it was all because we were faithful and started putting God first.
Right. I tell you, anybody believe that? Anybody buy into that? Amen. If you've already proven that in your life, you're sold, nobody can convince you otherwise.
Right.
But anyway, that is a powerful principle, and that's what we're called to do, is to be givers. And I just wanted you to know, these guys are givers, and I don't mean that just in finances, but I'm just saying they're giving of themselves to invest in others, and that's really what we're all called to do. And what we want to do around here is we want to make an eternal difference in people's lives. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate these guys, how that they're investing in the lives of others. And in fact, let me just mention this, and that is that Dwayne Dunham has told me several times, He says, I have a scholarship available, okay? Out of his own pocket, he is sponsoring somebody. And so this fall, when we offer this again, right now you're in the middle of a semester, but in the fall, when we offer our small group semester again, be sure, if you need a scholarship, tap in, okay? So that's an opportunity, and appreciate you doing that. And don't you appreciate these guys so much? Now, today, the character that we're pulling out of the stands is very much along these lines of what we're talking about today. And so what we're doing is, actually, I got a big surprise for you today, big surprise. Some of you may not realize it, but Dwayne Stone is actually a credentialed minister in the church, and he's licensed. And so today, I'm asking Dwayne Stone to bring the message today, and he's going to pick somebody out of the stands, and he's going to present them to you in our series, Running with the Giants. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? So would you do me a favor? Would you do that one more time? Let's appreciate this, guys, and let's encourage Dwayne Stone as he comes to bring the word today. Would you? Come on, everybody. Let's give it up.
Guys look way different from this spot than you do over here. Let me tell you that. This is definitely different. I don't get to speak a whole lot. Pastor called me a few weeks ago when he started this series on Running with the Giants. And he said, I got this idea. And he told me what he's going to do with bringing up people before the sermon every week. And as you guys, you know, if you've been here for the weeks, we're in week five now. And is this not being incredible, guys? I'm just telling you. I've been saying, yeah, let's give it up for everybody that's been up here. I so look forward to each and every week because I learn something every week that I don't know about you. And I think you get to learn a lot about people that you see each and every week. And a lot of times we don't really get to interact with them really close. It's like that. We just say, hey, how you doing? How's your week been? And then we're off and out. We're running out the door. But we don't really get to know them personally. So today you got to hear a little bit of my story. You got to hear a little bit of Dwayne Dunham's story. You know, last week we had the privilege of Steve and Dawn. And, you know, when I think about them, I tear up, man. Because you say, man, you're an emotional guy. I'm just telling you, you know, I'm just passionate about people and passionate about God, really. That's what I am. I'm passionate about God and people. And, you know, Steve and Dawn's story, man, I love their story. I'll never forget, we came here. We've been here almost 2 years now, my wife and I, and Steve and I, we got to know each other, and we played together on the praise team. Unfortunately, Steve is not here today. He's away on a business trip in New Orleans. Bless his heart. Please pray for him. And he's been texting us, and it's not been good. But anyway, so Steve had sent me a text not long after that he and I had been playing together, and I didn't know Steve and Dawn's story at all. But he sent me a text and saying, I just want to tell you a little bit about our story. And told us that they were pretty much atheist. And I just cry when I think about it. Because how God can transform someone's life from being an atheist, not wanting anything to do with God, don't care anything about God, to now look at them and where they're at, man, they are sold out. Anybody that knows Don and Steve, no, they're sold out, aren't they? And that's what this journey's all about, man. We're going to run in with the Giants. We're going to bang out Rebecca today, and we're going to find out her story on generosity and what it applies to her and how it applies to you today. So just give me a little leeway today, you know, give me a little grace. I don't do this very often, so I got a lot of notes. I'm going to be reading a lot today. I can't flow as free as Pastor does. But we're going to start with our theme verse that we've been doing for this whole series that is found in Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So as I said, today we're going to be pulling Rebecca out of the stands, and we're going to be finding out a little bit how her life made a difference. But let me set this story up for you just a little bit so you'll understand the background behind it, okay? It says, Abraham, who was supposed to be the father of many nations, well, he only had one son, and Abraham was 100 years old, and his son was starting to get up in years, and his son was not yet married, and that was a problem. I'm sorry, could someone please get me a Kleenex? I'm sorry. I'd run over there, but I look pretty weird, you know. I think my tears have caught up with me. Oh, thank you, Pastor. I don't need a whole box. I'm not that bad, I don't think. So anyway, so Abraham was getting up years. He was 100 years old. He had one son. His son was getting a little older. He hadn't been married yet. So, you know, naturally, Abraham's getting a little nervous. I'm the father of many nations. I'm supposed to, you know, have all these ones behind me, but I don't foresee that happening. So we're going to find out a little bit today about how this all took place and how Rebecca became Abraham's daughter-in-law. So you guys ready to dive into this a little bit? All right, let's do it. So it's a small story. It's found in the book of Genesis, and it has an incredible truth and a little hidden story that you probably have never noticed. Rebecca jumps out of the stands, and she is going to say what every single one of them should be seeing, all these giants of the faith. In fact, 15% of the Gospels is going to be on this statement. Almost half of all the parables is on this statement. It's one of the most prevalent topics in Scripture, and it's mentioned twice as much as heaven and hell. When you're saying, well, what could it be? I think this is what even all the saints would come out of the stands and say, this is your first blank. Give generously to others. Give generously to others. So with that, you want to invest your life with an eternal perspective. I did say the word eternal and not internal. Because if it becomes internal, it's all about us. But when it comes eternal, it all becomes outward and about everyone else. It says, give generously. Realize not just money, but your time, your attention to others, your hugs, your encouraging words. Every day, throughout all the day, you just need to spend a lot of time doing that. And you're saying, well, I thought generously and giving was all about money. Well, that's part of it. We're going to find out a little bit about that later on down the road in the sermon today. But it's not all about that. It's about what you do to others. So because Rebecca would jump out of the stands and tell us the impact that her life and generosity had on us today, she had this one small act of generosity that would change history. She had no idea that it would have a big impact. Let me set the story up for you just a little bit. Remember now, I told you earlier that Abraham is getting old. And Abraham, even though he was a man of great faith, was slightly concerned that the promise was not going to happen. Like maybe he was not going to be the father of many nations that had been promised and prophesied. He was concerned that his son was not going to get married and have any children. But he was slightly nervous about letting Isaac wander off. As you can imagine, it's his only son. He doesn't want Isaac to wander off. He wants to keep him close to home. He's his only child. So Abraham did not want Isaac running off looking for a wife. And there are two reasons for this. Number one reason is, in their culture, back then, mom and dad picked the wife for their children. Now, some of you may be saying out there today, Larry, maybe for instance, I don't know. You might think that's a pretty good idea. What do you think, Larry? Maybe you pick the husband? Yeah, mom's shaking it. Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, sometimes we think that might be a good idea. Nah, I'm thinking that, you know, she said, no. Rebecca said, no, that's not a good idea. No, and I don't think so. So anyways, that was the number one reason. Number two, Abraham doesn't want Isaac wandering off because Isaac probably would go too far from his home because he was the only son and the only promise that was resting on him. So here was Abraham's plan. Abraham had a plan already. He was going to take his chief servant, one of his top guys, and was going to send him out to find a wife for Isaac. So he loads up his servant with 10 camels with tons of goods, including jewelry. Now, I want you to pay attention to that 10 camels because it's going to play into the story here a little bit in a minute. That's a lot of camels. That's a lot of stuff to go out to try to find a wife, isn't it? to try to lure her in, all right? So he took a lot of stuff, a lot of jewelry. He said he sends him off to go look for a wife. Now, can you imagine the pressure on that poor guy? Not only to satisfy Abraham's desire, but also Isaac. He's got to bring back the one and saying, so, what do you think about this one, Isaac? Think I did good, you know? So there's a lot of pressure on this poor servant. I don't know that I would want to be in that guy's shoes. So this is how the story goes in Genesis 24. But before the servant goes out, he prays. And we're going to find that out in the first verse we read here. It says, then he prayed. That's probably what I'd be doing. Like, I just got sent out with 10 camels, all this stuff, all this jewelry. I got to go find the perfect wife for Isaac. You better believe I'm going to be praying, right? So it says, then he prayed, oh, Lord God, my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I'm standing beside the spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. Now, I'm going to stop there just for a minute. Says he does something that I do not recommend. In this next part, you're going to find out where he puts out a fleece. A fleece is where it's an, okay, God, if this happens, then I know I'm supposed to do this. But that doesn't work all the time. And the only time you really find fleeces being put out was in the Old Testament. You're not going to find fleecing anywhere in the New Testament. So that's really not a good thing to be doing when you're dealing with God. So don't be putting out a fleece. So there was a lot of fleecing going on. So now let's see what he says in the next verse. It says, may it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. So this may not sound like a big deal or a big request, but it was a huge deal to this servant. Remember, he had 10 camels. In a little bit, I'm going to show you how big that really was. I'll say, hold on to those 10 camels. I'm going to show you how big this becomes. So let's continue on in verse 15. It says, before he had finished praying, get this, before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. So I don't know. I think maybe he had a little connection with God there. What do you think? So before he finished praying, how many of you have been praying, and then before you finish praying, all of a sudden your prayers were answered? So it said this was probably a 2 to 5 gallon jar on her shoulder she was lugging around. So with that being said, I think Rebekah probably had to have some pretty big guns, you know, kind of like, you know, mine. You know, I thought that wasn't a pretty good example, right? Yeah. You didn't have to laugh so hard. Thank you very much. But anyway, but you know, she carried around a 2 to 5 gallon jar. You guys know you got that full of water. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? So she had to have some pretty big guns carry that around. So she was heading off to the well. She was getting her water, and the servant walks up to her and says, can I have a drink? And she says, I will water your camels too. Did that not just sound familiar? Kind of deja vu. Did we not just read that in the scripture where he just prayed and says, God, I asked this woman for a drink, and she's willing to water my camels? Okay? So I'll water your camels too. Now, that might not sound like a big deal to you, but I'm going to show you what a big deal that really is. So if we put up the next slide, this is what a big deal that really was with the 10 camels, okay? I'm just going to look at the screen with you. 10 camels at 20 gallons each, and that's the minimum. 20 gallons is the minimum that a camel will drink, is 20 gallons. So we're just going to take the minimum, okay? So she had 10 camels, 20 gallons each. That's 200 gallons of water that she was going to have to furnish to these camels. 200 gallons drawn with a 5-gallon jar equals 40 trips. So that means she had to go over to the well, get her jar, take out the water, bring it back up, go over to the camels, pour it in. Now she had to make 40 trips doing this. 40 trips at 3 minutes each. Now we're just being conservative at 3 minutes. We don't. It may have taken her longer. We don't know how far she had to walk from where it was. Where it's counting. We don't know. We're just going to say 3 minutes. Even if that, 40 trips at 3 minutes each, it took her 2 hours. That's a big deal, guys. 200 gallons of water, 40 trips, 2 hours. I think that's a pretty big deal. What do you think? Do you think that she went above and beyond what she was asked to do? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's the attitude here that stands in stark contrast to both human nature and the generation that you and I live in. We don't see that much anymore. The attitude that we hear is, what's the least I can do? That's kind of the attitude that we hear in society. And what's the least I can do? I think a lot of people in society in this generation want to do the least amount as possible and still expect something in return. But that's not what Rebecca would say. In fact, she would come out of the stand and say, whoa, 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 you've got it all wrong. You guys have got it all wrong. It's not the least you can do. It's what can I do? That's what Rebecca would say. She's saying, you guys got it all wrong. Except here we go and we do all these crazy principles that the Bible says and Jesus talked about. So if somebody asks for your coat, you give them your cloak as well. You go the extra mile. I'm going to do more. I'm not going to do just what is asked. I am going to do more. So why would Rebecca be saying that? Was she saying that just to be nice? No, I don't think so. It was so much bigger than that. I want you to know that a miracle took place. That servant, you know what he did? He said, she's the one. I like this girl. Wouldn't you guys be saying that? You saw one of her working? I don't know about that. Saying, that woman's going to help me. That woman's going to, she's going to benefit me. That woman, I think she's the one. Yeah, okay, you guys are laughing. Women's not laughing. But anyway, so he went out to his camel and he started unloading all the goods and he started pulling out all that beautiful jewelry. And he said, I want you to know, he proposed to Rebecca. Now, not for himself, but he was proposing to Rebecca for Isaac. And when Rebecca saw all that jewelry, what do you think she said? Yeah, yes, yippee, that's right. She said, yes, absolutely. She hasn't even seen Isaac. You understand? All she's seen is a servant. She ain't even seen Isaac. And she's thinking, oh, yeah, I want him. If he's giving me all these goods and all this jewelry, I think he's my man. You know what I'm saying? So, guys, just a little tidbit there, guys. If you want the woman, you might as well get her a little jewelry. I don't know, you know. I think women like a little jewelry, don't you think so? So, sight unseen, she says, yes, as soon as he pulls out the jewelry. And, of course, the rest of the story is she becomes Isaac's wife and in the great bloodline of the Lord Jesus. Just because, oh, I'm sorry, I have lost my place. There we go. Just because she was asked to give him some water and took 2 hours going above and beyond. I'm convinced that she would say, give generously to others, and others would come out of the stands and say, you have no idea how short life is, how temporary it all is, and what a difference the stuff you have here on this earth can make in the generations to come. Life's short, guys. Life's real short. It's all about what we do, but with the dash. I did a poem one time. I did another talk one time, and it's talking about the dash. If you never heard it, it's a poem talking about from the day you were born to the day Jesus calls you away. It's that dash. What did you do with the dash? That's what we're talking about today. So come on, guys. Let's learn some of Rebecca's principles. Here's the first one. You can't be generous and legalistic at the same time. You can't be generous and legalistic at the same time. Generosity at its heart isn't a give-to-get mentality. The whole wealth and prosperity mentality dishonors Jesus. It is built on half-truth. God wants to bless you, but more than anything else, he wants you to be blessed to be a blessing. He wants to put it inside of everyone's heart to willingly, write that word down, willingly. Write it somewhere on your paper there. God wants to put in everyone's heart to willingly want to give to others. God is looking for a willing heart. Tithing can't be, get this, tithing can't be, I've got to do this or I'm going to be cursed. That's not how it works. God doesn't want to curse us. The truth is, we are already under a curse. We're living in a curse-stricken world. If you don't believe me, just look around. Watch the news. Go on the night. Turn on the news. See if we're not in a curse-stricken world. It won't take you but about 5 or 10 minutes to figure that out, guys. What he's trying to do is God, he's trying to rebuke the curse off of us and put a blessing on us. It's not for his will to live under this curse. That's not his will. He wants to put blessings on us. So the Bible says it like this in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his what? Heart. To give, not reluctantly, under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Not because, oh God, here we go again, I gotta write that check. Oh gosh, I gotta give to that mission again. Oh God, pastor's asking for money for somebody who's in their need of help again. I gotta write another check. That's not cheerful. No, it should be like, oh really? You mean there's somebody in need? Wow, I mean, I get the awesome opportunity to help someone else because God has blessed me. That's what I was saying a while ago, you know, when my wife and I started doing it right. We can give now. We can give. So we shouldn't reluctantly want to do this. It should be like, this is my favorite part of the service. So when pastor comes up at the end of the service, we should all stand up and cheer and shout and throw a big party because we're taking up the offering. And it's not to just the church, it's to God. You're giving it to God. So this is exciting, fun, and I'm so grateful that I have the resource and ability to give. It shouldn't be, oh no, they're asking for money again. No, be cheerful, not reluctant. I heard a minister one time say, ministry doesn't follow money, money follows ministry. Pastor Theron, he's not going to stand up here and beg for your money. I'll promise you that. We've had conversations. He's not going to stand up here and beg for your money. You should want to give to the ministry here. If you believe in what is going on here, you should cheerfully give and want to give. If you're involved in ministry here in the local church, you should not only give of your time, which you are, but you also should give monetarily as well, just as God has asked you to do. You notice I said God, not Pastor Theron, Dwayne, Pastor Steve. No, we're not asking you. You should do it because God has asked you to do that. So here's the second thing that I believe Rebecca would say. You can't walk the second mile until you've walked the first. There's a mentality and a mindset in this world that's like, have everything now, get it all now, buy it all now, don't wait. So some of us have generosity mindset like that. Sure, I would give like that guy if I had what he had. Well, no, you just take where you are now because you're never going to have that until you're faithful first in the first things. You've got to start with what you have. Don't try to be like somebody else. Rebecca didn't have any money. She had strong biceps and a water jar. That's all she had. She didn't have a lot of money. She was getting ready to come into some money, though, let me tell you. But all she had was some strong biceps and a water jar. That's all that Rebecca had. So this is what Jesus said in Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. The Lord is watching how we handle worldly wealth. Again, this is not just money, but how you handle your time, how you handle your smile today, how did you handle your opportunity to hug somebody? How did you handle that? It's not just about the money, but it's how you give to others. It may be in a smile. It may be in a hug. It is the sowing and reaping principle that Rebecca figured out. I don't know if she knew she would be the great-grandmother of Jesus one day, but she figured out that if she sows into this, that God will bless me if I will just be faithful with what I have, which was biceps and a water jar. She was just faithful with what she had. She didn't try to go on and put on any pretenses, any airs about her. She was just being faithful with what she had. Here's a third point. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And we've all heard the old saying, I've never seen a U-Haul being pulled behind a hearse. You know, it's true. We don't see the hearse going down the road with a U-Haul tagged along behind it. You can't take it with you, guys. I don't know if you ever heard the story about the miser or not, but I'd heard this little story about the miser. And anyway, this guy, he had made a lot of money, and he said that he went to his wife one day, and he said, now, honey, when I die, I want to take all of my money with me to heaven. So, you know, when I die, I want you to put all my money with me in the casket, and I want to take it with me to heaven. So he's like, okay, you know. So the miser, of course, he winds up dying one day, and they're at the funeral there, and they're just getting ready to close up the casket. And his wife's like, whoa, hang on, wait a minute. You know, she runs up right quick, and she's got this box, and she goes and she sets it down on top of him. And they close the casket and all that stuff, and she walks back, and her friend's there, and her friend says, man, I just find that just very honorable of you that you would honor his request in that way. She goes, I've just got to ask, did you really put all of his money in there with him? She said, I sure did. I wrote him a check. So I don't know. Maybe that's what you want to do, you know. So this is what Jesus said in Matthew 6:19-20. He says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, Larry, this one's for you. Jesus was giving us the biggest insider trading tip in the world. Who's also said that to Larry? He does trading all stuff, and he's done a small group on it. So. But Jesus was giving us the big insider trading tip in the world. He says it's okay for us to have stuff. He doesn't mind that we have stuff, but he's saying that stuff here on this earth, when I return, is worthless. When I return, it will be worth nothing. So he is saying, make investments. Make, here's that word again, eternal investments. We've got to get that in our heart, eternal investments. Did Rebecca know that? Little did she know that a two-hour watering job from Camels would make her the great, 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 great. I'm not going to go through all that, but she was the great 37 times great grandmother of Jesus. Now, I can't think of any more honor than that to be the great grandmother of Jesus, can you? So we've got to understand this principle of everything we do does make a difference in the lives of other people. Everything we do does make a difference in the lives of other people. So here's point four that I think Rebecca would be saying to us. You can't wait for the feeling, it will follow. You can't wait for the feeling, it will follow. This is a good one. In fact, put a star beside this one and use it for everything in your life. It says, when you are tempted, your feelings are lying to you. Get that in your head. When you're tempted, your feelings are lying to you. So you don't live by feelings. I heard a man once say that we don't live by pressure, we live by principle. You might want to write that one down. We don't live by pressure, we live by principle. So what that means is you can't wait for feelings. You might say, well, I don't really feel like I'm doing good, or I don't really feel led. Well, the old saying is you need to get the lead out if you ain't feeling led, you know. Says, I don't think Rebecca had this feeling. I don't think she woke up one morning and says, you know what, I think I'm going to go water me some camels for a few hours. No, she understood the principle of doing something first and letting feelings follow. So don't wait for the burden. A lot of people get this next verse we're going to read. They get it backwards, where Jesus said in the book of Matthew, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A lot of people and even pastors have said, where your heart is, there will your treasure be. That's not what the scripture says. It says, money leads, and then the heart follows. It's not the other way around. What that means is, we are making investments. We don't wait for the burden to give first. We are living out of a decision to be generous. It is a decision, guys, not a feeling. God has birthed generosity inside each and every one of us, but most of us feel we don't have the resources to be generous. But I'm going to go on a limb today and say, you do. You really do have the resources. It's just you're not managing your resources well enough to know that you have the resources. And so with that, get in this Financial Peace University that Dwayne and I were talking about today. I promise you, I will lay a promise down right here today with you. If you get in Financial Peace and you follow the steps that are laid out in there and you go through this 9-week course, I promise you, when you come out on the other side, you're going to realize that you do have enough money at the end of the month. Most of us say there's too much month and not enough money. Go through this, I promise you, you'll have enough money by the end of the month, I promise you. Isn't that right, Dwayne? Amen? I'm telling you, we're living proof of that. We're both living proof of that. So, you know, a lot of you, you know, as I said earlier, you know, I was taught to pay my tithes from an early age. You know, and as I told you earlier in our story, you know, when Karen and I, we first got married, we didn't do it right, man. We didn't. We were robbing God. I'm just going to tell you, we were robbing God. We didn't pay our tithes like we should. It was, well, if we got it, we'll pay them. You know, next week, well, I don't think we got them, honey. You know, I got to pay that power bill. I don't want Duke Energy to come by and, you know, turn off my, you know, my power. But once we started doing it and we became faithful, God has been faithful to us. Every single time, he has been faithful to us. And you know what? A lot of you are sitting here today and you have the same testimony. You're like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's the same thing that's happened to me and my family. We've been faithful. God's been faithful to us because we give. We give out of faith. We give our tithe. Now, there's some of you maybe sitting here today and saying, you know, I really don't understand what you're talking about. I don't understand that principle. Well, this is what I suggest. I suggest get in your Word. Start studying the Word and see if you can find that principle in there. And if you're just having a little difficult time, come to Pastor Theron. Come to myself. Come to Pastor Steve. Come to one of us. We'll be glad to help you with this, that you can understand this principle. It says God really does want to bless you. God says that if we do our part, get this, God says if we do our part, then He would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there would not be room enough to store it. So we have to do our part first. And then God's going to say, all right, they've been faithful. They're doing us all the right. They're doing it cheerfully. They're doing it with the right motives. Now I'm going to open up the windows. I'm going to pour them out a blessing. So let's learn some final parting words from Rebecca. Even the smallest acts of generosity can make a difference. To Rebecca, it was only water and a few hours. But look at what she got. Jewelry. And she became the great-grandmother of who? Great-grandmother of Jesus. It's the smallest acts of generosity that can make a difference. You heard what I said, the smallest acts of generosity. You ain't got to do something to do great. Just small acts of generosity. So you're saying, well, I don't understand what you mean a small act of generosity. Well, maybe it's the tip that you leave the waiter today. Maybe you leave a little extra tip with that. She may be, or he may be struggling. You never know. It's the hug that you give someone on the way out the door today. It's that encouraging word you go up to a brother and sister and says, man, you know what, I really appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. I love you. You know what? And say it sincerely. Be sincere about it. Don't just cliche, I really appreciate you, brother. No, really mean it. When I walk up to these guys, I walk up to Josh today, man, before we started, I went there and I said, Josh, I said, I want you, I really appreciate all you do here at Cross Point. I do. I really do. Everyone, I'm telling you what, all these guys that have been on this small group copper team building the stage, I'm telling you guys, you should say, these are some big walls. I'm just telling you. Greg, these walls are, yeah, they're not light, are they, buddy? We were struggling. You should have seen us trying to get these big walls on the stage yesterday. These guys giving of their time. Tell these guys, man, how much you really appreciate them. This is awesome, isn't it? Send it. Yeah, there you go. Give them a hand clap. Absolutely. I'm telling you, if you can see these guys in here working on this, man, I wish we'd had a video, time-lapse video. We could just show you guys what they did. This was amazing, honestly. I'm still overwhelmed. I was here every Saturday watching these guys do it. I mean, I was helping, too, and I wasn't just watching that. I don't want you to think I could be watching it. I did help a little bit, you know. So, you know, I'm not a carpenter guy. I just told myself, I'm just a dummy idiot around here. Just give me a hammer or a nail or a screw or something. I can put it where you tell me to put it. But don't ask me to sit there and build this thing, you know. So anyway, but now, send an encouraging text or an email to someone. Send them an encouraging word on Facebook. I've seen some of you guys do that already on Facebook. Get on Facebook. And another thing, too, we haven't done this in a while, but these are these acts of kindness cards. I'm going to plug this. We haven't plugged this in a while. These things are laying on the back table there behind the sound booth as you're going out on the information table. These are called act of kindness cards, and it says something extra to show you God loves you. Lay this down there. Pick up a few of those cards. Take them with you. When you go to the restaurant, put a little extra tip down. Lay it with that when you put it inside the little pay envelope thing they give you when they come to take your check. Put this with it. Say something a little extra to show you that God loves you. It's the small things, guys. It's the small things. Mark 10:42 says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I'll tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. So here's the second thing I think Rebecca would say. When you give, the impact of your generosity often outlives you. It just keeps on giving, guys. It keeps on going. Your generosity just keeps on going for generations and generations. This is what John had to say. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. So that could be you later on down the road. Somebody may be reaping the benefits of your labor later on down the road. So just keep that in mind, that the impact of your generosity often outlives you. And this is the last thing that I think Rebecca would say to us today. When you give, You give to the Lord. Did you hear what I said? You're not giving to myself. You're not giving to Pastor Theron. When you give, you're giving to the Lord. And I'm not talking about just money. This is not what this whole thing's about. I hope you've gotten to say this is not about all about money. This is about giving of yourself with that eternal perspective. Right? This is a great one to end on. So when you give to the Lord. Here's what it says in Matthew. I'll tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. He even gives a scripture to back it up. Whatever you did to the least of these, you did it as unto me. He says, remember, everything we do around here is done for Jesus. Because we are doing what we are doing to impact people and point them to Jesus, then we are also doing it for Jesus. So are you ready to give generously today? Your time, your money, your resources? Are you ready to point people to Christ through your acts of generosity and kindness? Are you guys ready to do that? Have you learned anything today on being generous with your time along with your money? You guys ready to give back to others? For and what? An eternal perspective, not internal. If you believe that today, give it up for Pastor Theron as he comes and help and closes us out today.
Let's give it up for Dwayne. Thank you, Dwayne. Awesome, awesome job. What a word. What a word. I hope you're encouraged today. I hope you don't feel pressured. I hope you feel encouraged because let me just point this out. As Dwayne said, I vowed not to ask you for anything. I don't want to ever ask you for anything regarding finances. All I ask is that you ask God and you follow what God would have you do. Doesn't that make a lot more sense? And so it is a spiritual thing. But, you know, as we talk about this idea of giving, we can't really give of ourselves until first we've received from Him who first gave and loved us so much that He gave His only Son, He gave His all, He gave everything for us that we could have a relationship with Him. So I think the first step in being and following the nature of God, which is the fact that He is a giver, is we first got to receive His gift, His gift. And there may be some people here today that you haven't really received His gift. Maybe you did at one time receive that, but you've walked with Him and had fellowship, had a relationship with Him, but now things have happened in the course of life, and you know that you're not where you need to be in your relationship with Him. And I'm going to give you an opportunity today just to give of yourself to Him, and that is to give your heart to Him and then receive and return His gift of life to you. So would you take a moment today? I just want to lead you in a prayer if that's you today. And I just want for a moment, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes and let me just pray over you. Father, thank you for this message from Pastor Dwayne, and thank you for this principle. It's a principle, God. We're living our life not by pressure but by principle. And God, we just want to align ourselves with you, because when we align ourselves with you, it does produce peace in every area of our life. But today we pray that you'd search our hearts and help us to know that, God, we're in a relationship with you. That's what has to happen first. God, I pray that you'd search our hearts and help us, Lord, to make sure that we have received your gift. You have given to us your all, but we must be willing to receive it and open our heart and allow you in, and in return give our life to you. So today, help us to have the courage right now to do that. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today and you know that you need to make a commitment to Christ, you're ready to do that. I just want to help lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front, just right where you're sitting while our eyes are closed and heads are bowed. I just want to lead you in a prayer of commitment today. But that's you. You say, I need to make that commitment today, and I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to commit and give my life. I'm going to start by being a giving person by giving my life to Him. If that's you, I want to know who I'm praying with today. Would you just slip up your hand right now, and you can put that right back down. You need to give your life to him for the first time or rededicate your life. God bless you. God bless you today. God bless you today. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? So proud of you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your courage to do that. For those of you that need to pray this prayer, would you just, right where you're sitting, let me just lead you in this prayer. It has to be your prayers, but I'm just going to help you with the words. Just simply just put it this way. Just say something like this. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the gift of the Father to me. Thank you for giving yourself and giving your all when you took my place on the cross. Thank you for paying for my debt so that I don't have to. By faith, I accept that you paid for me in full. And by faith, I open my heart and I ask you to come inside of me, live inside of me. Today, pray this, I give you my life. I surrender my all to you. So today, I thank you for taking care of my past, my present, and my future. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me and setting me free from all my debt. Today I'm a new person because you now live inside of me. And Lord, with all of my heart, I will follow you all the days of my life. Pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.